Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Friday. We are live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, a brilliant classic showdown tonight from two soon-to-be legends, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. You're a Chargers and Chiefs fan. I know the Chargers fans are down a little bit. It's going to be a great 12, 15 years. Put your arms around it. You're going to win more than you're going to lose. Maybe not to Mahomes, but you're going to win more than you'll lose. Joy Taylor is joining me. Blazing 5 in 1 hour, my blasé 5. I love my picks. What's new? Joy, how are you?
I'm great. That was a great game last night.
Oh. I say this before. This is the year I use the word grateful. All year, my New Year's resolution, grateful. Last night I sat there and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Thursday night in December, chicken parm with a buddy, a cocktail, and I get that. Let me start with this. Easy targets. Analytics. Going for it and fourth down. This morning, everybody's going crazy. What is Brandon Staley doing? Three things. Number one, Urban Meyer did not get fired because he lost games. He got fired because he lost the locker room. Robert Saleh's not winning much either, but the players still believe in him and respect him. You do not lose a locker room going for it on fourth down. If it was up to players, they'd go for fourth and 15. These are aggressive men. Locker rooms are full of aggressive alpha males. They want to go for it. They're looking for the knockout punch. You're never going to lose a locker room going for it on fourth and 2 and fourth and 3. And that's more important. You can lose games. Brandon Staley didn't lose a single player in that locker room. Number two. Listen, the Chargers have great offensive personnel. They should go for it all the time. They're tight ends. I mean, they were missing an all-world left tackle. Their offensive line was spectacular most of the night. Their running backs, their wide receiver, they should go for it all the time. This is not the Texans. When you have great players, you should be more aggressive. And number three is they fumbled at the two-yard line. Analytics are an easy target. If they don't fumble at the two-yard line, they go up 21-13. We could have a different outcome. If you go look at the history of the NFL, teams that fumble at the 1 or 2 yard line going in for a touchdown, they probably lose 75 to 80% of their games. Now, I'm going to add a but and an and. But football is very situational. Okay, when you go for it, where are we on the field? What time of the game is it? Is my defense up for the task if we fail, or are they gassed? I mean, that's a big part of it. A lot of questions here situationally. There are some fourth downs, obviously. Where are we at in the field? Who's the opposing quarterback? If we fail, who do I give the ball to? I'll give you an example. I would tend to be a go-for-it coach like Brandon Staley, but I would go for it more in the first half than the second half, and here's why. Did you notice the Chargers' defense, how great they were in the first two quarters and how gassed they looked last couple drives? Because you're asking 275-pound men to run around for 3 hours. They get tired. So I think going for it on fourth down early in a game, if you don't get it at midfield, your defense is still playing at a peak performance level. I think by the time you get to overtime, chasing Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce around the field, you look a little tired. So I would probably be much like Brandon Staley, but I would think longer about it over time late in games. Now the and. And I'm not a fan of the word always. Like, I wouldn't always punt. I wouldn't always go for it. I like to blitz, but I wouldn't blitz Aaron Rodgers and Brady much. I do think this is something that will work to their advantage, though. They go for it so regularly that, you know what Green Bay and Aaron's been doing for years? They do this at least once a week. It's fourth down and two. They rush to the line. Aaron barks and tries to get you offsides. And it works about a half dozen times a year. The Chargers are so aggressive on fourth, it will be a great decoy at some point, perhaps in the playoffs or a big game, where they just rush to the line, the defense is going, they've gone for it three times. They're going to get a penalty on this eventually before the season ends. So it plays to your advantage being aggressive. But I think analytics are an easy out. The first five times, they went for it five times last night. Next generation stats, 5 for 5, agreed with the decision. They went 2 for 5. If they go 3 for 5, are we having the discussion? If they don't fumble on the 2, are we having this discussion? Probably not. We're complaining about results instead of the reality of the statistics. They work. But here's the most important part. The Chargers have something, and they have it with a rookie coach, and they have it with a young quarterback that most teams in this league don't. They have an identity. There's clarity in that locker room. I mean, Philadelphia is limited, but their identity is, we're going to run the hell out of the ball. Buffalo's identity is, we're going to pass it. It's not perfect, but it's an identity. And that's why I think Philadelphia and Buffalo are going to make the playoffs. Very few perfect teams. They have an identity. Everybody in that locker room, everybody in that organization knows, we're a go-for-it team. You're not losing guys in the locker room like that. Urban didn't get fired for losing games. He lost trust. He lost respect. He lost the room. He's not losing the room on this stuff. These are aggressive men. You know who doesn't have an identity? The Jets, the Giants, Detroit, Jacksonville, the good teams. You say LA Chargers, and all of you are like aggressive, dynamic, risk-taking. I'm good with it. It's an identity. Brandon Staley talked about his decisions after the loss.
That's the way we're going to play around here. That's the way we're going to play. And, you know, when we have a quarterback like ours and we have an offense like ours, that's the way we're going to play, because that's how you need to play against Kansas City. I know that the quickest way to win a game like that is to score touchdowns, not field goals, especially considering who's on the other side. And to me, when you feel like you're in an advantage situation, when you don't feel like it's a gamble, when you feel like this is an advantage for you, then that's going to be our mindset. Okay. And I don't think that any decision that I made tonight was a gamble.
Do you know in the previous 20 years who went for it on fourth more than every other team? Belichick and Brady. It wasn't a gamble for them either. You got a Hall of Fame talent and a great coach. Fourth and two is not a big gamble. All right, let's talk about the overtime. My job isn't just to watch stuff and then react. My job is also, Joy's job too, to contextualize stuff. What really bothers me sometimes about the media, and some people are very good at it, I happen to be one of them, is contextualizing stuff. Not just griping about crap. Like explaining stuff. So overtime. All I hear about the overtime, it is unfair to the Chargers. The Chargers didn't get the ball. It's terrible. Fair. Okay, so let me explain this. Because I've talked to somebody on the committee that decides this. There's two things the NFL does not want. Number one is ties. They don't like ties. You don't like them. I don't like them. League doesn't like them. So they're going to have an overtime. Number two is, and you know this, injuries. So the NFL ideally would love for the overtime to be one play. You take the kickoff, you run it back for a touchdown, boom, nobody has to play any extra plays, nobody gets hurt. Why? Because data suggests that if you ask players to play another 15, 20, 25, 30 plays, they get hurt. You can ask Travis Kelce to play 35, 40 more plays. Really? You want that. And he gets hurt. Okay, they've done studies at the University of Utah on this. When do skiers get hurt? From 3:30 to 4:30 on your last two runs. Because your body is fatigued and you overcompensate or don't have the ability to get in and out of places you could at peak performance. The league wants this overtime to be fast. They don't want ties, but they don't want dudes hurt. And other data suggests that if you play 15, 20, 25, or 30 additional plays, an additional quarter, you'll lose the following week. Now, think about that. Kansas City flies all the way out west, stays in a hotel. You never sleep as well. Then they play a game, and now they have to play. Let's say that thing went on, and you give the Chargers the ball, and it goes on for another 45 minutes, 50 plays. Then you get back on a plane, you fly, and you have another road game. You're losing that game, and you're probably getting guys hurt. So the NFL doesn't like ties, but they don't want injuries. They want these puppies over as soon as they can get them over. This is all about data. They don't want you to lose the following week because you played an extra quarter, and they don't want your players hurt, especially your star players. Here's the other thing. I hear the fairness thing. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, fairness. Oh, fairness. I live in LA. I'm a Charger guy, right? Are you going to tell me the Chargers, over the 3.5 hours of the game in regulation, didn't have enough fair opportunities? Touchdown pass in the end zone, drop, fumbled the 2-yard line, missed on several fourth downs and short. Yeah, that was my takeaway on Kansas City winning last night. Boy, this game wasn't fair. Boy, the Chargers never had any opportunities to win this game. They did. You drop a pass, you drop a fumble, you have a penalty. Folks, the only thing I would ever change about overtime, and I wrote about this in my first book, I would give the road team the ball first or the right to choose offense or defense. My takeaway is the home team is at every advantage. The crowd, you can't hear, you're trying to audible on the road, you got to travel, the locker room's smaller. Like, it's hard to win on the road in the NFL. Even for good teams, it's hard to win on the road, right? Winning at home, you should win at home. Especially if you have a smart New England Patriot crowd where they're loud when you have the ball and they're quiet when the home team has the ball. So every advantage is for the home team. Forget the travel, the beds, the sleep. It's the crowd, the audibles, every advantage. So to me, if you cannot win at home and separate yourself with 10, 11, 12 possessions, the road team, I would just eliminate the coin flip in overtime. The road team gets the choice. Because remember, the NFL's all about parity, right? Best record, drafts last. Right? There's free agent restrictions. There's drafting restrictions based on where you finish. The league really wants ultimate parity, and the NFL has the most parity. NBA doesn't, baseball doesn't. NFL does. So if you want to, if everything here is about player safety, you don't want long overtimes. And if you want fairness and parity long term, which college football, by the way, doesn't have, it does not have, then the road team gets a choice. And if the road team has a defense like New England and they're facing a cruddy quarterback, let them have the ball. If you have Patrick Mahomes, we get the ball. I'm totally okay with it. But none of you, and I'm a Charger guy, right? I love Andy Reid, but you think I'm a Charger guy, right? Nobody in their right mind watched that game and went, boy, the Chargers just didn't have any opportunities tonight. Some of you always say, oh, I love the college overtime. That's the hokiest nonsense in the world. There's no kickoffs. The first part of college overtime, there's no special teams. Time out. You tell me special teams don't matter in the NFL or football in general? You gotta be kidding me. Like the NFL overtime's like you can win on a kickoff. You can win on a blocked punt. You can win on a you hit the PAT or what they say is, though, we want this puppy over with really, really fast. And we're not worried about fairness because you both got 11, 12 possessions. We're not going to lose any sleep on fairness because none of you last night thought Chargers didn't get any opportunities in this game. They did. Drop a here, fumble here, penalty there. I mean, Herbert got the ball as great as he is late. He didn't score on it. Mahomes didn't. He did. Right team won. Right? Right team won. So there you go. It was a masterpiece, though. I will tell you that is that watching these two kids is, you know, years ago, Brady and Manning played in the same division. The NFL separated. Maybe we have to separate these guys. Okay, Herbert, you go over there. Mahomes, you go over there. We don't want you knocking each other out of the playoffs. But it really did feel, it honestly, it felt like watching Brady in year four and Manning in year three. It really did. It really, I watched that game. Herbert's got so much Elway. He throws the ball so hard. And then Mahomes has a little, you know, he's got a little bit of Marino where it just doesn't look like everybody else in the league. You're sitting watching that game. That was, here's the Mahomes to Kelce game winner from the Kansas City Chiefs radio network.
Mahomes takes the snap at his right thigh, dumps it over the middle, caught by Kelce at the 30, spins back up, hey, Kelce at the 15-yard line, Kelce at the 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City in the biggest AFC West game in 5 years. The Chiefs put the hammer down with a 34-yard touchdown pass, Mahomes to Kelce.
You tried to convince me the last month Kansas City was back. Today, after last night beating that good team in L.A., they are officially back.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there. What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday season, gift the gift. You know they'll love a gift card from Jersey Mike's. A couple of clicks of a few buttons. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. I got a Kevin Stefanski thing going on here, Joy. A lot of gray. Records keep coming for Justin Herbert, who passed Andrew Luck, who I've compared him to. Andrew Luck, not as reckless. Pac-12, big body, big arm, smart. Passed Andrew for the most passing yards in a quarterback's first two seasons. Herbert and Mahomes, when I watch them play, I see two distinct styles. I think Justin Herbert has a more consistent delivery. Most of his passes look the exact same. Mahomes is got sidearm. He can be a little less consistent. He misses more layups. You know, that touchdown he had and then threw away, that's not what Herbert looks like. A lot of the quarterback NFL records are held by Breeze, Brady, and before that, Peyton Manning. And it's their consistency of delivery and their discipline of delivery that works for them. You get the same look and throw every time, over and over and over. That is Justin Herbert. Repetition, it should be noted, creates wealth. Most wealthy people have made their money in boring fashion. They create a product, they put it on a conveyor belt, Microsoft, and sell it over and over and over again. That is Brady and Breeze. That is Manning. That is Herbert. But Bruce Springsteen sold his catalog yesterday for $500 million. Artists can hit it rich too, and that is Mahomes. He's got a different flavor and sidearm and left-handed, and he's going to miss, he's going to have some songs that don't hit. But what is cool about Herbert and Mahomes is they're both going to be wildly successful, but they're very unique and they're showing there's more than one way to win in this league. And that's what most rivals have been in my life. I grew up with Ollie and Frazier. You could not find two men who despised each other more or saw the world as they saw it. Magic and Bird. One was built for LA. And one with a blue-collar work ethos was perfect for Boston. Crosby and Ovechkin. Sidney's more stoic. Ovechkin's a big personality. Nicholas and Palmer. Arnold was huggable. At times, Jack could be the bear, could be aloof. Brady and Manning have many similarities, but Brady was always cool and calm, like Montana. Manning was more frenetic, a control freak. KD's the ultimate scorer and plays angry. LeBron's the ultimate teammate and plays joyfully, mostly. So I think what's amazing about this is that you're going to get these guys in the same division, both about the same age, but their games are so distinct to them, And they're both, I would argue, the best in class for what they do. And Andy Reid, after the game, I mean, this, let's be honest. Herbert's probably easier to coach, but the ceiling perhaps is higher for Mahomes. And Andy Reid talked about it after the win on the road.
Offensively, Pat, you know, you got an idea when things, you know, I mean, he just keeps firing. And that's a part you love about him. He's never out of it mentally of a game. He just keeps rolling 400 plus yards.
Yeah, what a performance. How lucky are we? Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, Cleveland Browns fans are a little upset right now, and the Browns' luck keeps getting worse. Backup quarterback Case Keenum has reportedly tested positive and entered health and safety protocols.
Yeah, not great.
So since Baker is also on the COVID list, third string quarterback Nick Mullins is now in line to start for the Cleveland Browns.
He's not terrible, by the way. He's a little bit of a gamer. He's got a little Taylor Heinicke in him. He's the best third string quarterback in the league.
Right. But they're missing, I think, 13 other players.
Yes.
And Stefanski, yeah, and other coaches. So he is in line to start tomorrow against the Raiders. He was just added to the active roster on Thursday.
What is your suggestion?
Move the game. Push the game back. And this is not unprecedented because we dealt with this last year. I don't understand. I know that there's a lot of complaints going on about the protocols right now. And look, there is news flying in every single direction about, yeah, COVID at the moment.
Yeah.
No one really knows what's going on.
Yeah.
The leagues are playing catch up just like everyone else. But yeah, I do sympathize with the Browns situation and, yeah, the Browns fans complaining, because it's not necessarily about the protocols. Like, you do have all these positive tests. There was over 100 players around the league this week that tested positive.
And they happen to be on the Rams and the Browns.
Right. And there are teams that are being hit, obviously, a lot worse. Like, yeah, the Chargers only had Rashawn Slater. Well, move the game back. Last year, the Titans had a COVID outbreak in week 4 last season against the Steelers, and the game was postponed to week 7. Because what the league doesn't want to have happen is that you have to play games after the season has officially ended.
Right. They don't want to set a precedent where there's just a domino where everybody's moving their games,
right,
to.
Well, I'm not moving the games, but they don't want the season to be elongated because of games, right, that were canceled. They don't, right, want to cancel games.
Right.
But you don't need to cancel the game. Move the game. Move the game to Monday. Give them some extra time for players to get out of COVID protocol.
I'm not against it. I'm really not. I think what they're worried is, okay, if we do it for the Browns with 18 and the Rams with 25, what if a team has 16? And then you'll say we moved it for the Browns. I agree. To me, I look at it and I think, just move it to Monday. We by the way, I don't know if they still do it, but when the year starts, we have a couple of Monday Night Football games. Like, put it in the afternoon.
I think you should have... Because I agree, there does have to be some sort of criteria.
That's right, and I think that's.
But if you have a certain amount of starters that are out,
yeah, no, I think
then it's
yeah,
fair. But, and it's not even about being fair; it's just reasonable. Like, yeah, if there are the Browns have 20 players on the COVID list: Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Stefanski. Like, it's Case Keenum. Like, this is nonsense. So you need to move the game. Now, yeah, they're not going to move the game. They're going to play it tomorrow.
Yeah,
but. The fact now, that the Browns are in playoff contention or not shouldn't matter. It should be that they have too many players that are out in order to play the game.
Now, Baker could still play, couldn't he?
They have to have, if you're vaccinated, you have to have 2 negative tests 24 hours apart. But,
okay,
the issue is that you're having players who are vaccinated, who are asymptomatic, still testing positive. So... You know, like, this is a very fluid situation.
I think,
but you remember the Ravens had a COVID outbreak in Week 12 last season.
Right.
The Thanksgiving game against the Steelers was postponed 3 times.
But can I just say
this?
And
they moved it from Thursday to Sunday, Sunday to Tuesday, then Tuesday to Wednesday.
I know all you Brown fans are freaking out. I've seen 3 teams this year: Green Bay at Arizona, Rams at Arizona, and Kansas City last night, missing multiple starters and play great football. Like, I don't think. I mean, if you ask me, I think the Browns are going to win. Regardless, I think you can get away with COVID losses for a week.
Yeah, but the Chiefs had 4 players, maybe 5. The Browns have 20.
That's more.
That's more. It's more. Move the game.
Like, I'm not offended.
If they hadn't set the precedents for this last year, then I would be like, okay, like, look, we can't be moving games. They're going to have positive tests. This is the world we live in. But they've moved multiple games.
Yeah,
so it's completely reasonable for them to be bothered by the fact that they're not moving the game.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. Listen, it's going to be Saturday. Sunday and Monday is an NFL day anyway. So move it. Doesn't bother me.
Play the game on Tuesday.
I mean, the Browns aren't playing
when you need to play it. I'm sure the Browns would rather play on a short week than play without 20 of their guys.
That's fair.
And their head coach.
That's fair.
So the Jags have parted ways with head coach Urban Meyer just 13 games into the season, and Trevor Lawrence is ready to focus on moving forward with the rest of his rookie year.
It brings a little bit of clarity to the guys in the locker room. I wouldn't say relief, but I would say it just brings some clarity and some direction moving forward. You know, we really want to go and finish this season strong, and to be honest, it's been hard the last week with everything going on, and you know, just there's a lot of things being stirred up, I think, by the outside too. That didn't help, made things a lot worse. But also, just everything that's going on, it's hard to be focused.
You know, I was listening to him yesterday.
He's such a smart kid.
Yeah, and there was another clip of him thanking the Jaguars PR lady, saying like she's done an amazing job. And you know, I really sympathized with him yesterday, listening to him talk to the media and thank the media for the job that they're doing.
He's so incredibly self-aware.
He is
unbelievable.
He's very mature, but also I think he and the start of his career has been lost in all of this drama.
Yeah.
And we haven't really talked much about him this year at all, because first it was the Tebow thing and then the next set of drama and you know, we all know what happened. But I think Trevor Lawrence has really been, you know, I don't want to use the word victim, but he's been lost in all of this.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
his development and what was supposed to be the start of his career.
Now, the good news is, we said this in college, it was a great year for candidates. It's a terrific year for head coaching candidates.
Yes.
This is not a lean year.
And I'm with you. I think Doug Peterson would be a great option for Jacksonville.
Yeah, but some are saying Leftwich. I would rather have a coach. But I'm okay. Give him an offensive guy. Give him an NFL lifer. Give him a Peterson, a Byron Leftwich. You know, Leftwich comes from Brady. So, by the way, Byron's probably stolen a few tricks from Brady. So, I mean, from between Arians and Brady, Byron Leftwich, you talk about mentors, a player and a coach. So, a lot of experience there. So, the good news, and I said this in college, it is a great year for NFL. You got Daboll, you got Eric Bieniemy, you got Leftwich, you got Doug Peterson. Those are really strong, really strong candidates.
There's a lot of really strong candidates, and I think what Jacksonville needs, similar to a lot of the teams that had rookie quarterbacks this year and are going to have new coaches next year, is they need a culture builder. They need somebody who's going to come in who is going to create an identity and a culture for Jacksonville, because it doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
And that's what they thought was going to happen with Urban.
Yeah.
But for Trevor Lawrence, who has been, I mean, we were talking about him getting drafted after his freshman year.
Yeah.
Like whoever you decide to bring in for Trevor Lawrence is crucial. You don't want to be in a situation like what happened in Cleveland, where year after year after year, you're bringing in people.
You can make the argument.
And it's a dysfunctional situation. You're wasting years of his career.
The best thing to do is fire Urban now. You can make an argument because now we get the distraction out. Now we get another month to watch him play. Let's give him some quality starts, quality snaps. Forget, because for the record, he played pretty darn well for the first 9 or 10 weeks. They went man overboard in the last three. But if you could kind of resurrect this season, you end on a positive note, you have a good off season.
Right. What you don't want is dysfunction. Because look, I mean, Zach Wilson is 2-7. Fields is 2-7.
They're all struggling.
No one was expecting. The only one who we knew was going to go into a better situation was Mac Jones, who's done an amazing job. But these are just losing scenarios. They need help on the roster. Like, they need development. They need culture. So Tom Brady is launching a new clothing line called Brady Brand in January, and he's bringing along some college athletes. He's getting into the NIL game, giving some deals to help promote it.
Yeah.
So he made an announcement on Twitter yesterday saying, "I'm proud to partner with our lineup of NCAA and newly drafted athletes for the first Brady Brands campaign launching on January 12th, 2022. That's a little bit of a tongue twister there. Brady Brand campaign. Joining with the launch of his new brand are 9 athletes, including Jackson State quarterback Shedeur Sanders. That's the son of Deion Sanders.
Yep.
Coastal Carolina quarterback Grayson McCall and Michigan quarterback Cade McNamara. And yeah, so Brady's got his hand in every area.
You knew he was going to have a Michigan guy. Got to have one Michigan guy.
Of course. I mean, it would be Brady's very aware of everything that he's doing. He's not going to miss on that one.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
I got Blazing Five at the top of the hour. I have so much today. I felt so lucky last night, man. It was just crazy. It was just so fun to watch those great players. There may be a third of this league that doesn't have their quarterback yet. And by the way, this is not a great draft. One of these kids out of college is going to end up being really good. Like, by the way, we always think it's a great draft and two or three don't work. I guarantee you, because these quarterbacks will get drafted lower, most of them, that they'll go to more functional teams. And one of these kids is going to get drafted, like, behind a Matt Ryan or somebody. He can sit for a year and figure it out. So, like, it's never as great as we think. It's never as dire as we think. So, I like the kid, Pickett, out of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched him. I don't think he's a top two or three pick, but if he could sit behind Matt Ryan for a year, I mean, he's got so many college starts. He's a bigger than Matt. He's more mobile than Matt. I'm like, he's got all the leadership stuff. Dave Wannstedt knows Pitt well. I asked Dave, so he's really connected. Like, I think Lewis Riddick, I talked to him. He went to Pittsburgh. So I leaned on those guys about Pickett, and they're like, he's got all the leadership stuff. Well, he's big enough and strong enough. So somebody in this draft, at least one of these quarterbacks, going to end up being a really, really nice player. Never forget, Kirk Cousins has been wildly functional. Didn't he get drafted in the fourth round? RG3 went first round. He went fourth. Kirk Cousins has put up unbelievable numbers. There are quarterbacks out there, even if they're not highly touted. Albert Breer around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. A driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcast. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Simply Safe. Ever wanted to make your home feel safer? Get 40% off. SimplySafeColin.com. Indoor, outdoor, windows, doors, sensors. It's all good. Great to have you in today. Joy Taylor, Colin Coward. It's the Herd. Albert Breer, our buddy at the Monday Morning Quarterback. He is fantastic. Joining us live. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So Brandon Staley's getting beat up today for all the analytics stuff. And I said... You can lose games, you can't lose a locker room, and professional athletes are aggressive. They'll argue forever to go for it on fourth and two. You're not losing anybody in that locker room. And also, it should be noted, when you have their kind of offensive personnel, I don't know if it's that big of a risk. They're good everywhere. So what's your takeaway on all the analytic bashing and Brandon Staley bashing this morning?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair to look at each individual situation. And so, like the first one, you know, at the very beginning of the game, you drive all the way down the field after things played out over the first 5 or 10 minutes the way that they did. And I can definitely see some logic in saying you need to come away with some points here. And so I think that's, you know, close to a 50-50 call for Brandon Staley. That said, this isn't one of those guys that's just trying to, like, catch the wave, you know, of a trend in the NFL. Every conversation I've had with him about this particular topic doesn't look at this as taking a chance or a gamble or anything like that. He actually does research into every one of these situations, and he views some of them as opportunities. And clearly, you know, the 5 fourth downs last night, he saw those as opportunities. And again, if there's not the turnover inside the five, maybe we're looking at this a little bit differently this morning.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has to worry at all, Colin, about his team being behind him, because like you said, players love these sorts of gambles because what it says to the players, the coaches believe in me.
Yep.
Justin Herbert, yep. Austin Ekeler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. You know what they walk away from that game thinking? Not damn did Brandon Staley screw us here. It's my coach believes in me and we didn't get it done, so we got to do a better job.
That's right. The players think it's on me. My coach believed in me. I didn't make the catch or the pass. I totally agree. So listen, the Urban Meyer thing, I will say this. I said this in college football. It was a really good year for candidates. There was some, Matt Campbell still at Iowa State. He was a great candidate. He stayed. And everybody else still got a good coach. I think it's a great year. Byron Leftwich, Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll. I think it's a tremendous year for NFL candidates. So I think Jacksonville's in a good spot. What is your guess, your hunch, your ideas? Where would you go with the next coach for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see some guys who are going to be getting their second chance, or at least looking at getting a second chance in this year's cycle. Doug Peterson's one, certainly Dan Quinn's another, Raheem Morris, Todd Bowles. So you have those guys. And then you do have a few offensive-minded head coaches, a couple of guys that have been passed over, and Brian Daboll in Buffalo and Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City, who've worked with, you know, elite young quarterbacks. Josh McDaniels is one that I think you want to take a look at, though, Colin. One of the reasons why, Bill Belichick has the year of ownership in Jacksonville. It's one of the reasons why they wound up sticking with Doug Marrone back in 2017 when he'd been the interim coach at the end of the 2016 season. Bill Belichick recommended that to the Kahn family, and his recommendation was a turning point in that search. And so, you know, things went sideways on Josh a little bit a couple of years ago. And if Bill wants to make it up to Josh, one thing he could do is make that phone call down to the Kahn family and say, this is the guy that you want developing Trevor Lawrence. Here's the other thing. Look at Josh's track record. It's not just Mac Jones. He turned Matt Castle, who hadn't started a game since high school, into a quarterback who won a division title for another team in Kansas City. He developed Jimmy Garoppolo from FCS second-round pick into a guy who took another team to a Super Bowl. And he developed Jacoby Brissett, who was a raw third-round pick, into a guy who will probably play 10 or 15 years in the NFL. And so I think if you look at the fact that Josh has previous head coaching experience and he's got experience, really good experience, developing young quarterbacks, I could see where, you know, the connection to Belichick's one thing that might put Josh over the top in this situation.
So the Browns game tomorrow, Joy suggested, hey, we've moved these games before, move it to Monday. My takeaway is I think the league would like to, but they're worried about a precedent because the Rams have even more. Yeah. I mean, I think like 25. So, you know, I mean, this is, I've heard companies my whole life say, hey, if we do this for you, we got to do it for everybody. I mean, we all know the precedent, you know, excuse. Maybe it is an excuse. Mm-hmm. What's your takeaway on what's happening and what could happen?
Well, let's talk about the micro and the macro. The micro here, this situation, I don't know that the league feels good that moving it to Monday or Tuesday is going to make much of a difference. The reason why last year you had guys that would test out of the protocols in 3 or 4 days, that hasn't happened this year. 80% of the guys who've tested positive for COVID have had to spend the full 10 days, the maximum of 10 days in the protocols. So moving the game from Monday to Tuesday might not even make that big a difference. And that's, you know, in an environment where 2/3 of the guys have been asymptomatic. And so I think the way the league looks at this is if we move it to Monday or Tuesday, is it going to make that big a difference? Especially when you got Cleveland playing on Saturday next week, too. They play on Christmas Day. So that's the micro. I think, you know, they're probably going to ask Washington and the Rams and the Browns to tough it out this weekend, which sucks and can be a player hit safety issue. You know, but that's sort of where they are on that. As for the macro, I think we're going to see some significant changes to the COVID protocols.
Yeah.
Two ideas that were floated within the group of owners in Dallas this week. Number one was the idea that they could incentivize players getting the booster shot by offering to them that they'll stop testing if those guys get that shot.
Huh.
They stopped testing asymptomatic boosted players. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about a completely different environment.
Sure.
The second idea, and I thought this was interesting too, was going back to daily testing, but then saying if you're vaccinated, that you do not have to come off the field. They'll take precautions, they'll mask you, they'll distance you.
Huh?
But since there's not been a whole lot of evidence of any on-field transmission, they'll let you play even if you have a positive COVID test. So those are two ideas that have been floated out there. I do think significant change is coming. And the main reason why, Colin, you know, what they said to the owners, what Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer, said to the owners, you know, this is Omicron, and the characteristics of Omicron, it's much more contagious than previous strains of the virus, and it's something that isn't having the same sort of effect on people.
Yeah.
The symptoms aren't anywhere near as severe.
So that's right.
You're talking about something that could spread faster, but is less of an actual problem for people.
Yeah, I mean, folks, new information, new protocols. I got no Joy and I have been talking about this for months. New information, it's not the same as it was other variants.
I think one problem, Colin, here, I'm not sure, all the leagues know this. The NBA, the NHL, they all know this. The question is who wants to be the first one to jump and take a step backwards when it comes to testing. I think that's the difficult thing.
Hey, by the way, an interesting thing, the NFL was very lucky when it first hit because they were the last league that had to address it. Now they're the first league that really has to address it, and to your point, they are. Okay, finally, about a minute and a half left. All year I've been told, Chiefs are going to be back. Last night was the first time I went, they're back. Now, Mahomes is missing some easy layups, but I felt like last night was different. They feel back. They should be favored. To me, they should be favored or co-favorites to win it. That was my take after the game.
I made the Alabama comparison to you last week, right?
Right, right.
Like they stumble around, and then all of a sudden, here they come. And now they're still bigger and faster and stronger than everybody else. And I feel like maybe that's where we're getting. Last night, you know, this 7-game winning streak they're on. Last night was the first time over the course of that 7-game winning streak that the defense has allowed more than 20 points. So this is the first time that they really had to hang their hat on what the offense could do, and the offense responded. And I think that's a great sign, Colin. I mean, did we really think that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill were all going to be held down through the entire season? We knew that it was going to take some time. They had five new offensive linemen in the opener in front of Patrick Mahomes. Those positions take a lot of communication to get right, especially when you've got that amount of new guys up there. And so, you know, I think that this was always going to take a little bit of patience. And what you saw last night, I think, was the offense being challenged, where the defense wasn't playing quite as well as it had over the first month and a half of the season. That has something to do, or the first month and a half of this winning streak, that has something to do with the Chargers, of course, too. And the offense really responded, which I think is a great sign for where the Chiefs are going.
Great stuff. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Great seeing you, man.
All right, thanks, Colin. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's that whole thing with Omicron. It's just amazing how everybody lines up with politics. It's new information. It is a new variant, which is really mild. By the way, when it first was at South Africa, when it was first introduced, it spread like wildfire. And because it's so mild, it burned out very quickly. Everybody got it. Nobody got really sick. And so it's a new strain. It's a new variant, like new information. Okay, let's have new protocols. If the NFL is like, listen, many of you may catch it, but most of you are going to be asymptomatic or mild. All right. Again, I don't think it's terribly, everybody's like, well, you said this earlier. Well, it was a different variant. We have different medical information. This is not sophisticated stuff. This is a much milder version, much milder variant. Therefore, we probably shouldn't be as stringent as we were earlier. It's not overly complicated. New info, change your position. All right, Blase 5, my Blazing 5. I still love all my picks. I still think they're amazing. I still think I'm going to go 4-1. Hour 2 next.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.